Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to We Are Wrestling Podcast, episode number 8. Heat it is. I'm your host, Viral Viper, a.k.a. Viper Freeze, with my co-host,
The Renegade Enigma.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are back again with another podcast. So how are you, Renegade?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, man.
So how do you feel about this week in wrestling?
I mean, it's all right and whatnot. There's issues within the wrestling community we have to talk about, but we'll get into that later. But wrestling itself, like, it's okay, you know? Like we're going to get into it in detail, but Hell in a Cell was, like, I'm going to quote somebody. They said the matches were lit, but the finishes were shit. So that's the thing.
That makes sense.
Raw was alright. I have yet to watch NXT because y'all all know my deal with that. AEW this week, in my opinion, was better than last week, but it's still missing something in my opinion. But it was better than last week. But yeah. We'll get into that in more detail, but other than that, I'm good.
Okay, let's start with the show that we didn't get to do before the podcast, SmackDown.
Yeah, that was good to me.
SmackDown was huge. They did a 3 million ratings, and it was huge. Like, they brought out Tyson Fury and Cain Velasquez. Like, they really pulled out all the stops for the show. And Tyson Fury had beef with Braun Strowman on the show, which leads to him versus Braun Strowman at Crown Jewel, and Cain Velasquez, which is apparently Dominic's godfather, and he came to stand up for Rey and beat the shit out of Brock Lesnar, who won the title in 8 seconds. He beat Kofi Kingston in 8 seconds. There's a lot of people who were pissed off about the Kofi title loss, but if you know the wrestling business, you've seen it coming a mile away. Brock was going to take that title regardless.
Regardless. Like, it could have been competitive match. It could have been worse. It could have been 3 seconds. You know what I mean? Like, regardless, he was going to lose anyway.
Like, the writing was on the wall. As soon as they moved to Fox, they wanted the big players. They got Brock Lesnar. And Cain Velasquez beat him up right after he won the title, which sets up a title match for Crown Jewel between Brock Lesnar and Cain Velasquez, which is very weird that they're having a wrestling match. Two MMA guys that actually fought in MMA against each other for the MMA title are fighting in professional wrestling for the professional wrestling title in a professional wrestling ring.
I wasn't aware it was for the title.
It's going to be for the title. They're going to make the announcement tomorrow. I was privy to some leaks that it's going to be for the title.
Okay.
It's going to have a fuck finish because they don't want to beat either one of them. They're going to kind of push this out, but it's going to have a weird finish because Kane is actually hurt. His knee is fucked up, and he's going to have to get surgery. When he comes back from surgery, then we're going to see the real fight. We might even see them strap Kane eventually. You don't know.
The part I like, though, is that you see the fear in Brock's eyes. Now, I'm a total noob when it comes to MMA and whatnot, so I didn't know there was history there and whatnot. So I'm like, why is he so scared? But you see the fear in his eyes. Like,
yeah.
Apparently he fucked him up.
He was the one who beat him when Brock came and had that big ass streak, won the title, was beating the shit out of everybody. Kane destroyed him. Kane whooped his ass. Kane made him fear God. So now seeing Kane in the wrestling ring is like, oh my God, you're back. My demon is back.
What? I kind of like that.
What?
You know, the fact that they had to bring someone in from his past to take him out, because nah, man, like, I don't care about Brock. I'm not, like, complaining like everybody else does about Brock, but at the same time, I'm tired of Brock. You know, so it's kind of like, I don't know how to explain.
to me, the whole Brock thing, it's sometimes I'm bored of Brock. Sometimes I'm like, yo, he's actually exciting.
Yeah.
He's way more exciting than the Universal Champion. We're going to get into that in just a second. But, like, I have a love-hate with Brock, but it's not a hate where I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to see him. It's like, I can tolerate him. It's nothing boring about him. When he comes out and has a match, it's a good match. It's entertaining. But he's just not my favorite wrestler. He's just there.
Exactly. It doesn't bother me when he's there, but at the same time, I don't care if he's there.
Yeah, it's like, he's just there. Like, it's not like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever, or like, oh, get this guy on my fucking TV. It's just, he's there. It's like, all right, cool, whatever.
Like, I enjoyed the hell when he beat the hell out of Dominik and Rey. Like, it's my bias against him, but like, I enjoyed the hell out of that.
I enjoy when he beats the living shit out of anybody, just like, dominantly, and destroys the hell out of them. No matter who they are, if I love them or hate them, if he dominates them, it's enjoyable to me. Other than that, it's like, he's just there.
But yeah.
So that was our quick SmackDown recap, because nothing much really happened. It was just a big show. Not too much happened to lead into Hell in a Cell, which going into Hell in a Cell only had 3 matches. They announced the 4th match the day before, which was Charlotte versus Bayley for the women's title.
I thought it was announced that morning.
No, it was announced the day before.
Oh, okay.
Because they had a tag team match on SmackDown, the 4 Horsewomen, and Charlotte made Bayley tap. And right at that moment, we both said, they're going to have a match at Hell in a Cell for the title. Yeah. And that's exactly what they did. And in that match, Charlotte became the 10-time women's champion.
Yep. Which now she's on Twitter, she spells her name with a 10. So
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And speaking of Hell in a Cell, people went into it with no clue of what the other matches. There were only 3 matches that were really advertised. And they had a bunch of random matches. We're not going to talk about the matches because they didn't mean anything. They just were there. There was no impact to any story. They just were random matches that they threw on the show. Nothing really mattered. The matches that they did have was Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns versus Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. That match was really good. Like,
which, by the way, not to cut you off, but they randomly threw in a stipulation that wasn't like advertised before, which was, I believe, a tornado tag. If memory serves me right.
Yes, it was a tornado tag that they threw in that morning.
Yeah,
that match was awesome because they beat the hell out of each other. It was so good and enjoyable. Like, going into it, it was like, it's gonna be kind of boring, but after, it was like, oh shit, that was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then we.
Part of me is like, I don't know how you felt about it. So like, I swore there was gonna be like a heel turn there. Now maybe the obvious one would be Daniel Bryan, or maybe the swerve would be Roman Reigns, right?
Mm-hmm.
But none of that happened. You know what I mean? So maybe it's gonna happen later on and whatnot. But it didn't happen that night. So that kind of like disappointed me. But other than that, like, the match was good.
That actually made me happy that nobody turned, because now I feel like we get a slow burn. We get a slow burn to see who turns or what happens. What's the real backstory on Roman Reigns getting fucked up? It's a slow burn, and I like the fact that it's going to be a slow burn. I have a feeling they could stretch this out to Mania, but the early reports are Roman is going to be busy WrestleMania weekend, and it's not going to be with Daniel. So that changed. Roman is going to have a match against Brock Lesnar for the title, which nobody really wants, but we're just going to walk over through it and let it go and just move on from there.
Yeah, like I said, again.
Yeah. And then we had the Raw Women's title match with Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch. The finish disappointed me because Sasha lost, which didn't make any sense because of all the build and the hype she has around her, and she deserves it right now. But she lost to Becky. But the match itself, it was the match of the night. Point blank period, it was the match of the night.
And before anybody says anything, we don't hate Becky. We actually love Becky. We just deserve
it. No. We love Becky. It's just she deserves the title. But that match was just fucking awesome. They literally tried to kill each other to the point where Sasha hurt her back and she's going to be out for a week or two. They literally did everything, just brutalized each other, like meteors through the ladder and just everything you could think of. They really did a good job. And they were the first match.
Word wrong, but they were really innovative, you know what I mean? Like, most of the time, you have said, like, what the hell are they doing? You know what I mean? So, like, they did stuff in that match that I never saw before. I don't know about you, but I never saw before.
I've never saw a lot of things that they did in that match. I was like, Jesus, that's really badass. And for women to do it, it like took it up to a whole nother level. It was like, God, this match is awesome. But yeah, like Sasha didn't win. I do have a quick theory for tomorrow night on SmackDown, but I don't know how it's going to go, so I'm just going to throw out this theory. I think Sasha is beating Charlotte tomorrow for the title. And I know you're like, well, I guess since they're doing a draft, that means that she's going to be on SmackDown. No, because I feel like Becky is going to get drafted to SmackDown, and Charlotte also has a SmackDown title. So I think her and Sasha is going to clash, and Sasha is going to take the title and bring it back to Raw.
Okay.
Like, that...
That's what I would do. But since she's injured, I believe it's going to be Bayley that's going to do that. And that's how they're going to get the title to Raw and get the other one to switch. They're just going to switch out the belts.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then we have to go to the very last match of the night that took all the air out of the room.
Not the match itself. Again, the finish.
The finish. It was the finish.
To me, the match was pretty good. Like, the way the challenger was working, I gotta say the name, but I'm gonna let you do it, but the way the challenger was working, I loved it. Like, it was like, so, to me, Undertaker or Kane in his prime esque.
Yes, it was. It was just like that. Yes. And it was, Bray Wyatt was getting hit with everything that Seth Rollins threw at him, literally everything. Not lying, he literally hit him with everything. Chairs, ladders, tables. What else did he, toolbox. He took a toolbox. He just kept hitting him with everything. He kept getting up.
A hammer type of thing. Like, it was like this.
No. That hammer was illegal. So the legal hammer. And he hit him with like 6 curb stomps. He kept getting up at 1. And Seth just proceeded to just beat the crap out of him with the chairs over his face. Just kept slamming stuff. And the ref told him to stop. And the ref stopped the match. Like, the fuck?
It's a Hell in a Cell match. Like, it's no DQ. So, like, what the fuck?
Like, the fuck? Like, seriously, like, why would you stop the match? Like, this is not a match that you stop the match in. Like, this made no sense.
Nope.
WWE just really booked itself into an idiot position. Like, why? Why would you do this? Like, it's just stupid.
Like, going back to something, like, we talked about on whatever, like, it wasn't a podcast or whatever, it should have been, as you said, a slow burn. They pushed Bray way too quick. And you really couldn't have needed one of them lose and whatnot at the moment.
Exactly.
I would have been happy with Seth losing, to be honest with you, but at the moment, you couldn't because they.
Seth.
So, that's on the heels of beating Bray, On the heels of beating Braun Strowman, beating Brock Lesnar, so he's on kind of a streak right now.
Dude. Look, even though he did all of that, all of this, these beatings and beat everybody, you could have took the title off of Seth. Like, it was, like, there was no real reason to keep the title on him.
No, Seth, I'm not saying that, like, that's, like, I guess Vince's logic or whatever. Like, me, I could have left. I was taking off
of him. No, their, like, their logic is he's the face of the company right now. He's one of the faces of the company, and you can't tarnish the face. But also, you're building up another big star, iconic star in this company as Bray Wyatt and The Fiend, and you put him in this situation where he has to lose, which you screwed up your finish, where you shouldn't have put him in it, first off. If he wasn't going to win the title, you shouldn't have put him in it. That was it. That's clear and plain. Don't put him in a match if he wasn't going to win the title, because he's so hot, it was stupid of you to do it. It just was dumb. Just fucking dumb.
They should then, like, as you said, like, destroy a bunch of people and then lead up to that eventually.
They could have led up to that at WrestleMania. They could have led up to it anywhere. But, like, his first really big match is this title match, and he has to lose it. Didn't make any sense at all.
No. Which, but here's, like, the caveat to that. Not that I'm condoning it, right? No, no, technicality, he won, right? Because, like, it was disqualification. Seth got disqualified.
Technicality, he won, but at the same time, it's like you won in a weird ass fucked up fashion. Like, it didn't even make any sense.
Yeah, it didn't. Again, I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying he actually won to get it straight.
But yeah, I don't condone anything about that match, and WWE even wants to scrub that match from existence. So we're gonna take a cue from them and act like that match never happened.
Before we do, though, let me point this out, right? That Raw, they barely even mentioned it. They mentioned it once, didn't say it again.
They took 2 hours and 30 minutes to mention it for 15 seconds, and that was it. It's over. Never hear about it again.
Exactly. Which there was supposed to be a rematch that night. And from what I heard, I don't know how true it is.
That wasn't true, because there's rumors out there that they're supposed to have a rematch in Survivor Series, and that's not true.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a fake screenshot out there that's going around that they're going to wrestle in Survivor Series, but that's not true, because Survivor Series is still going to be, from what I know, it's going to be a 4-on-4 and back and forth SmackDown versus Raw type thing. So that's not happening. And that ending caused a lot of hell and chaos in the wrestling community, because it turned all of the fans to toxic people. This is, I know I've said before how the AEW fan base is toxic. This is when you really found out that the WWE fan base is as sick and toxic and twisted as the AEW fan base. Probably even more, because they're dead set on one thing. And they have went and they've talked about people. They've made people put their Twitters on private, take down their social medias, and like just stay away from the internet because of them being assholes. And they just can't just watch a wrestling match and enjoy it and talk about it and not go to toxicity.
He has a friend in particular that happened to.
Yes.
And like, he didn't say anything wrong. Like, she is a legit fan. She loves all wrestling. And like, she loves AEW. She loves WWE. She tunes into all that stuff. She does, I want to say, reaction videos on Twitter.
Yes.
And like, just because she was optimistic about, you know, the Bray Wyatt versus Seth Rollins match, everybody came at her neck. Which, if you really analyze it, there's stuff that you can be like optimistic about. Like, again, the match itself was good. I told Viper that, you know, man, I'm kind of like myself, am optimistic about every match, you know, man. But, you know, man, you don't hear Viper coming at in my neck because of that, you know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure you disagree with that.
Oh, I totally disagree, but I'm not going to come at your neck for that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But, like, people coming at people's necks are just, like, disagreeing. People are allowed to disagree, you know what I mean? Not everybody has the exact answers to that, you know?
Exactly. People are way too sensitive. I don't know why, but they're way too fucking sensitive. Just relax. Get over yourself. This is wrestling. We're here to escape from our regular, normal, everyday lives. Not to pile more shit on us and make us fucking mad and angry and sad because you're fucking assholes and dickheads. Just calm down and relax. Take a page from Naito and tranquilo, my friend.
It's like the other incident that had nothing to do with wrestling, but like everybody went to uproar about it and whatnot, right? It's this, I don't know if it's a producer or a director or whatever. Like, you even know better than me. Martin Scorsese.
He's a director.
Director, whatever. He said something to the effect of Marvel movies are not cinema. Yeah, you could agree or disagree and whatever. But a lot of fans, like, they disagreed and whatever, and there's, like, a real uproar about it, you know what I mean? Whereas the person who started the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, Martin Downey Jr., Iron Man, who started himself, he doesn't give a shit. He's like, everyone, he's in the Howard Stern show, and he's like, everyone entitled to their opinion, you know? He loved how, even for Howard Stern, I saw the interview, I'm basically paraphrasing. He loves Howard Stern, but he doesn't agree with everything he says. You know? You don't have to agree with everything someone says. Just agree to disagree. That's the same thing you say. You know what I mean? And just go out your business.
Basically.
People are like, being toxic to each other, you're putting more stress on yourself.
It's ridiculous. It's fucking ridiculous. These people need to get over their fucking selves.
Because I'm telling you right now, to any of the listeners right now, right? You come at my neck on Twitter or anything like that, you're getting blocked instantly because I'm not, like, about that shit.
Exactly.
But yeah, like, that's a system, like, no one in itself made, like, everything hell, ironically enough.
Ha! That's
why I could see you in hell, like, yeah, it was hell.
It was literally hell on wrestling. Something that actually picked up the wrestling community on Tuesday was like, which was actually surprising as hell, was NWA Power. Like, you have to watch it. It's such a fucking throwback from the days of the Jim Crockett promotion, Mid-Atlantic, and the original, like, older WCW. Because it's like, it's in the studio. They have this old school setup. Even the fucking intro song is an old school rock ballad. And it's like, holy shit. Like, soon as you watch it, the first couple of seconds, you start to get into it and you start to get all those feels of, oh my God, this is like so old school. And then the wrestling is old school. Like, it's not like throwback wrestling. Like, oh, they're not doing flips and shit. It's wrestling. But it's wrestling with these wrestlers having matches and having squash matches and building up to their opponent, building up to the big matches that they're going to have. And then you have them cutting promos, and their promos are so fucking awesome that you're like, holy shit, these guys are really kicking ass with promos. And Eddie Kingston showed up, who wasn't even scheduled for the show, and challenged the tag team champions, who are called the Wild Card, because during the NWA Tag Team Title Tournament, They came together as just a wild card. Literally, they picked two guys from NWA and put them together and made them a tag team. Yeah, and they became a tag team and they won the tag team championships. And Eddie Kingston came out to challenge them, and Eddie Kingston cut this really deep promo on him, and it was like, holy shit! Like this is a badass promo. And then later on in the show, we had Tim Storm, who is like 51 years old and who was former NWA champion like 2 years ago, and he was going to fight Magnus, and Magnus told him, hey, this is your last shot, you lose, that's it. Tim Storm cut this promo. He talked about his mom and how she's so scared of him wrestling, And he went like he went into this deep promo about his whole style of wrestling and his love for wrestling and why he came back and became an NWA champion. It was like, oh my God, this is like, I really feel this. And then Magnus cut his promo, and Magnus' promo was talking about how he's the champ and he's this. And it's like, okay, when these guys wrestled, it was great. They wrestled for 21 minutes. The match was fucking off the chain. Magnus beat Tim Storm. And then after Magnus won, he got out the ring and cut a promo and thanked Tim Storm for being such a great opponent. And he basically said, I'm the champion. There's nobody that can take the title from me. And he left. And the show went off the air. And I just, like, I felt so happy. Like, this is wrestling that I love. This is the type of wrestling I love. And it was like, yo, next week on YouTube, I'm coming right back for the NWA Power Hour. I'm down for this. I'm down for that.
Like, as you're describing it, I just found it. It had, like, a little timer on it. Like, it started in 2 minutes. So I'm waiting for it to start. Like, I have it on mute, so it doesn't disrupt the podcast or whatever, but I'm currently watching it right
now. Yes, it is, like, it is just fucking awesome. And also on YouTube, AEW has this thing called AEW Dark. It is an actual really good concept. But at the same time, it's really weird. Because it's all of the dark matches that they tape right before AEW Dynamite. They have like 3 or 4 dark matches, and then they put them up on YouTube. And they were pretty good. Well, the woman match was definitely good because it was Penelope Ford and I forgot who the other person was. I think it was Bea Priestley versus Britt Baker and... I forgot her name. But they had a killer match, and Britt Baker won with her Rings of Saturn mandible claw finish. And we had Darby Allin versus Shima. Darby Allin beat Shima, which was a shock because I didn't think Darby could beat Shima. And it was like it was pretty good, but it's weird that they have it. Coming up on AEW Dark this week, they have a really huge match that I'm surprised that they put on Dark. It's Joey Janela versus Kenny Omega in a hardcore match. I'm super surprised they put that on YouTube, but it's going to be on YouTube, and it'll be up next Tuesday.
I'm sorry, I tuned out all of it because all I heard was the B-Priestly. B-Priestly is a day. Yeah, I have like a big crush on her. Like, I don't care. I'll put that out there. Yeah, I know she got a boyfriend, Will Ospreay. All due respect to him, but he's the man.
Yeah, I mean, not my cup of tea, but I'm not saying she's ugly. She's actually pretty cute. She's just not into goth chicks.
I definitely am.
And Wednesday Night Dynamite and NXT happened yesterday.
Dynamite was okay. So, okay, right? I don't remember all of it. I could remember the first promo or whatever. It was okay, but parts of it were not needed. This goes back to the whole topic thing, whatnot, right? Like, Chris Jericho was like up with there along with Sammy Guevara. I'm gonna call him LAX because I'm not saying both their names and whatnot. And Jake Hagar and whatnot. As soon as he announced Jake Hagar, you know, Stan started chanting We the People because that was his thing when he was Jack Swagger and whatever. And took a shot at WWE. That was not aided. You know what I mean? So, that kind of pissed me off, but yeah. Apparently, they're actually a squad, and they have t-shirts on their shop. Like, that was quick. They're called the Inner Circle?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. And, like, from there, like, yeah, they made a tag team match, and I forget what else happened there, but, like, the promo stuck out for me, because, like, I didn't like everything that had been on Twitter and whatnot.
Yes. And they had Darby Allin versus Jimmy Havoc. And the winner would face Chris Jericho the next week. And Darby Allin won. I'm a huge fan of Darby Allin. I'm a huge fan of Jimmy Havoc, too. But I'm a huge fan of Darby Allin. I'm glad he's getting his shot because I always wanted him in WWE, but for some reason WWE never picked him up. But I'm glad he's getting his shot and people are looking at him because he's really good.
That finish was like, wow. Like, coffin drop, I believe it's
called the coffin drop.
Like, that was a far drop. Like,
yeah. He's really good at crazy shit.
Yeah.
We also had B Priestley and Riho versus B Priestley and I forgot the other girl's name again versus Britt Baker and Riho.
Yeah. Riho is the AEW champion.
Yeah, she is. And it ended in a fight with B Priestley and Britt Baker, who have I don't think it's legit beef. I think it's work beef. Because of the concussion from 3 months ago at Fight for the Fallen or one of the free pay-per-views, Britt Baker and B Priestley were wrestling and Britt got a concussion from B, and they have turned that into a storyline now, and now those two supposedly quote unquote hate each other now. So now that
I did see that.
It's now a storyline, and that's going to be their story carrying on through the future. So, thing. The first round of the AEW Tag Team Title Tournament, the Young Bucks versus Private Party, and I'm seeing a lot of controversy for the win online because Private Party did win. But what are your thoughts before I get into that?
They got me on that one because I thought it would be obvious to Bucks win. They're the bosses and whatnot. They're quote unquote the best tag team in the world. Not really, but yeah.
And that's what the debate online is right now about them not winning because they're quote unquote the best tag team and they should have won even though they're the bosses. And people are upset that they're taking so many losses and all of this other stuff. I don't understand what people's fascination with that is. If they lose right now, it doesn't matter. The Young Bucks will come back and get the tag titles. It's not a big deal. Calm down and relax. There's a big uproar because they didn't win. And it's like, okay, if they would have won, there would have been a big uproar. Hey, they're the executives. They shouldn't win like that. What do you guys want? I don't know what you guys want, but what do you want? Just explain. Just tell me. That's all I need to know.
Exactly. Well, I'm about to say something probably real controversial on this,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, you pointed at NWA Power. I'm currently watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, Nick of all this is the champion,
yes.
right? A few months back, right? Cody Rhodes, whatever you call him, beat him for the NWA
yes.
title. In my honest opinion, while it was sympathetic, like it was like emotion and all that, right? The only reason Cody won that title is Cody was the book.
That,
in my opinion,
that wasn't it. That title win was for emotion and spotlight, like because he was Cody Rhodes, he was still fresh off his WWE run. It was a big thing. They needed that for the NWA title so people can look at the NWA title and go, oh shit, it's the NWA title. Cody has it. Holy shit, that means something. That's why that was done.
But it's that in controversy. Like, if it happened like directly in NWA, mm-hmm. I would have no problem with it. But since it was Cody's show, I want to say it was
all. No, it was all in the very first one.
All in? Okay. Yeah, so since it was his, like, it kind of makes you think, like, it means, like, looks this, like, you know what I mean? So, like, it's kind of a quandary there with, you know, the Bucks and whatnot. It's kind of like a damn if you do, damn if you don't.
Right.
Interesting. You know, people are going to be pissed off if they win, which I would be. And, like, people are going to be pissed off if they lose because they're, like, quote unquote, hardcore fans.
And people are pissed off about them, Kenny Omega losing. And everybody already has a theory that because Cody Rhodes is going to be facing Chris Jericho at their next pay-per-view, that Cody is going to lose. I'm with that same thought that Cody's going to lose, because I don't think Jericho's losing that title until he faces Kenny.
Me personally, like, this is just if I owned a company with a booker or whatever and was a wrestler at the same time, I would be the biggest jobber in the whole company.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, that's just me. Like, because there's a contrast of interest in that to me. No matter how honorable you are, it's still something to that. It makes it look better.
Yeah, it's still a conflict. It just doesn't fly. And at the end of the night, they had a tag team match. It was Dustin and Hangman Page versus Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. Chris and Sammy won. And after the match, okay, it was a cool thing. You saw it and I saw it. And I feel very sad that we popped for it. Like, it was a cool moment. We popped for it and everybody was like, oh, it's like one of the best moments ever. Like, they were having a big fight, and then all of a sudden, Darby Allin comes down the ramp on a skateboard and attacks Chris Jericho. Yeah. And here's where I want to say I feel bad for the two of us. We popped for it and was like, yo, that's so cool. Why nobody ever thought of that before? Now, I did go on Twitter, and somebody posted a GIF, and I've felt so bad because I actually excuse me, I actually remember this, and you remember this too. You remember Mark Andrews?
Oh
yes. Mark Andrews came down to on a ramp with his skateboard and did a hootacanrata. Darby didn't do that, but Mark Andrews was the first to do it.
I remember that. Damn.
Yeah. So.
There was a better part to it that made me feel bad, though. Because, okay. The tag team match happened and whatnot. Dustin and Hangman got beat down and whatnot. I forgot the order. Mm-hmm. But I know somewhere down the line, MJF
Shorter. Yes.
Because I want to thank Cody Shorter.
Yes.
So they beat Cody down, MJF showed up, he had a steel chair, and they kind of hinted at him, like, beating up Cody, and they didn't, like, pull the switch. Like, I believe they should have pulled the
slow switch. Burn. That's going to be the theme through this whole podcast. Just a slow burn.
Yeah.
Like, I
don't know when it actually happens, it's going to be good, but, like, slow burn, but at the same time, don't go slow either.
Like, if they keep doing the subtle hints, like the subtle, oh, he's gonna turn and then he doesn't, like, oh, he's gonna, no, it's not. I like how they just keep playing with it, and like, you keep thinking it's not gonna happen, then when you get too comfortable, it happens and you're like, oh shit, we're fucked.
That's a good point. If for some odd reason, I think you may join in a circle, because I think that they're gonna have more members at the end of the day.
Yeah, I see that happening. Yeah, like it, like it'll be something big, like an NWO type.
Yes, I
would
think the same thing.
Yeah, and that was our AEW show. And
so you watched NXT,
yes.
So
NXT was. It was okay. It wasn't as good as last week, but it was good. It wasn't as good, but it was good. So, first match was Drew Gulak versus Leo Rush. That match was really good because Leo put his all in it, and he won, and he beat the shit out of Drew Gulak. And that match was like, that was up there. Then they had Roderick Strong versus Shane Strickland. Or Isaiah Swerve Strickland. Whatever they're calling them these days. But that match, it ended in like a fuck finish, but I want more of that. I want more of Swerve Strickland and Roderick Strong. I need more of that. I need to see that more often. I need... Because Swerve is really good, and Roddy is just the right person to bring it out of him. And I need to see more of that. And then
match with Dream, like they were good. You know what I mean?
Speaking of that, after the match, Dream came out and cut a promo on Roddy and challenged him for the title. He did the thing where he like exposed him on screen because Roddy took a picture with the title and he was naked. And then he said, "You're gonna come up short," and had like a little picture of his dick. Not his real dick, but it was covered and it was like really small.
His shortcoming.
Basically. And then Tommaso Ciampa came out and basically told Adam Cole that daddy's home. And that got a huge pop. Daddy's home chant. Which was, I think that was the first time I heard the daddy's home chant.
Yeah, I've never heard it before. For some odd reason, I want to say it was actually trending on
Twitter. It was. We had a match with Bianca Belair and I forgot who she faced. It was somebody. Dakota Kai. And Bianca Belair beat Dakota Kai. And Rhea Ripley fought Aaliyah and she beat Aaliyah. When Rhea Ripley won, Rhea Ripley challenged Shayna Baszler for the title. When Bianca Belair won, she challenged Rhea Ripley for the number one contendership. So I have no idea when that's going to happen, but I want to see them two go at each other for the first time. That's going to be a great match.
Here's the thing with that, right? Shayna Baszler is kind of a machine. Like, no one has beat her except for probably Kairi Sane one time. So, what I want a multi-person match. Like, she has yet to have that chance.
I think she did have it once.
She did? Like,
I think she did have it once, and she beat everybody that was in it.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's becoming unstoppable. I'm waiting to see who they're going to have beat her. And the way it's looking, the way it's shaping up, that it's going to be Rhea Ripley because they keep pushing her off and, like, putting her to the background. And I think she's going to be the one to beat her.
Yeah, I hope it's her.
And then we had the match that ended NXT. It was Walter versus Kushida. Man.
That's the end of it. That was good.
Man, I didn't think it was going to be as hard-hitting, as cool as it was. Even during the show, I was like, you know, this is going to be the main event, and it's not going to be as cool as it should be. And when it happened, oh, man, it was an ass-kicking fight. It was a good fight. I was like, oh, shit, this is really good.
Like, you look at it on paper, it looked like Walter, like, clearly... Like it would be a squash match.
Right.
But it was far from a squash match.
It was a real good competitive ass-kicking match. It was like, it basically stole the show. It was like, goddamn. In the ratings, everybody lost. Everybody lost in the ratings because I'm guessing baseball playoffs, but it was a big loss. AEW took a 400,000 loss, and NXT took a 100,000 loss. That, like, the rating war is going to be on, but at the same time, it means nothing, but it means everything. Because, like, it's just AEW fighting NXT. It's not them fighting Raw or SmackDown. It's fighting the lower tier of the company. Not saying that the wrestling is lower tier, but what WWE looks at as the lower tier of the company.
The way WWE looks at it, NXT is basically the C-tier. Clearly to the fans, it's not, but that's the way
to the fans, it's actually the A show. It's the show. When you ask anybody about Raw or SmackDown, those are two totally different entities to NXT. WWE is a totally different entity to a lot of fans. To a lot of fans, NXT is its own individual company. It has nothing to do with WWE. Yeah. Because it's that good.
Yeah. It's to the point now where the Cruiserweight title is no longer WWE Cruiserweight, like the NXT.
Yes. And speaking of NXT, they signed Scarlett Bordeaux and Shotzi Blackheart.
Okay. I just heard about Blackheart this morning.
Yeah, that's been out for a few days. And on Twitter, Regal put out an interesting video. So Evolve is having a show later on this week. And he put out a video on Twitter and said he's going to be showing up at Evolve to change one person's life. So that basically means he's going to offer somebody a contract. I don't know who it's going to be. They already signed Austin Theory, so I don't know who's the next person getting signed from there. Hmm. Like, I can't wait to see who it's going to be. Basically. So let's talk about the draft tomorrow in your show, SmackDown.
Tomorrow.
And SmackDown tomorrow opens up with Seth Rollins from Raw versus Roman Reigns from SmackDown. And the winner gets to have the first pick in the draft. I think this match is boring as fuck, but hey, what do you think about this match?
Oh, you have Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins?
Yes, yes. It's going to be fucking boring, but I don't know who's going to win. I don't care who's going to win. It's not that important. Whatever. It's part of the draft, but like, I don't really give a shit.
Yeah, that's what I said. I care, like, as far as the draft and whatnot, like, you know, how weird to say, I want Roman to win, so, because I'm a SmackDown guy, and I want SmackDown to get the pick, but other than that, I don't care.
Yeah. And speaking of that, we have the draft rules, and I'm going to point out one thing in the draft rule that's fucking hilarious. Okay, so it's over 70 superstars that are eligible. It'll be 30 for SmackDown and 41 for Raw. Now, you add up 30 and 41, that equals to 71 people. So how are 70 people eligible, but there's one extra person that didn't exist before?
It's probably gonna be a brand new person,
If it's a brand new person, that means that person just automatically goes to Raw. Because Raw gets 41 people and SmackDown gets 30. And tag teams count as one person unless they get split up by whoever's drafting. And all of the undrafted superstars at the end of the draft, they get to pick their brand. They get to pick wherever the fuck they want to go.
Oh, I didn't understand that. Okay,
I like that. Yeah, and Fox pointed out something on their Twitter, which has me thinking. They pointed out, hey, Finn Balor, Tyler Breeze, and Fandango have all went back to NXT. Who do you think is the next person to go back to NXT? And they put hashtag draft. So with everybody getting to pick their brand, who's to say like somebody like a Kevin Owens or this person or that person, at the end of their run, they just decide to go, you know what? I didn't get drafted. I'm going to NXT.
True.
Like, so we could be seeing a whole lot more people to NXT. And with NXT losing its ratings war, I can bet that there's going to be some people that we didn't expect going down there.
You could have, and this is not my pick, because we're going to do that in a minute. Yes. Right? Someone like Buddy Murphy.
Yes.
Like, he's not being used. Like, they use him a little bit for that Roman Reigns storyline, and then after that, they dropped
him. And that was it. Like, he's really fucking good.
Yep.
And by the way, Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black are two people that Paul Heyman are really high up on.
Okay.
So we might get to see them eventually.
They don't pick a fight with each other?
I hope somebody picks a fight with Aleister Black and just punches him in the mouth. I'm tired of him just saying, pick a fight with me. Stop yelling at me. I'm going to pick a fight with you if you don't stop yelling.
Knock on my door and pick a fight.
Pick a fight. Just stop. You jerk.
Me and my buddies on Twitter.
So you said that we're going to get to our picks.
Okay, you want to do that now? Okay, you first.
Wait, I was gonna tell you, you get two picks this time.
Okay.
So, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm picking Shelton Benjamin from SmackDown. And I'm also picking, who else would I want from that show? I was going to say Chad Gable, but I don't want him.
You mean Jordan G?
Chad Gable.
It's a thing, y'all.
It's not a thing. I'm not calling him that. I don't care. It's not a thing. Ember Moon.
Okay, Ember Moon.
Ember Moon and Shelton Benjamin. Those are my two picks. And by the way, Ember Moon is actually injured. Yeah, she's injured. She pulled her Achilles tendon, and I still want her on Raw, though, when she comes back.
Okay. Looking at Raw roster, mm-hmm. I'll make this easy, mm-hmm. right? Well, look at the Raw roster, and the Revival are still part of the Raw roster. And as you know, maybe like on the scenes don't know, they're a SmackDown Tag Team Champion.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm picking both of them.
So you're picking a Revival. Okay. Yes.
That counts as
that
one.
That counts as
one. Oh, shit. I thought I was done.
Oh, okay. You still got time.
Okay. I'm looking. I'm not having trouble just like you did, because like there's nobody really on here that really like want that thing.
I think of the possibilities of what they can do after you pick them.
Yeah, exactly. Now, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. On, at least on the app, they have people on here that are also on like NXT /205 Live, uh-huh. or whatever. For example, Leo Rush. Yep. So I don't know if that counts. I kind of want to pick him because I know he's currently the Cruiserweight champion. He just won that. But imagine him get one for the IC title.
That would be awesome.
So like, I'm going to pick
okay.
him.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are our draft picks, and we'll see tomorrow if any of those draft picks get picked up.
And on the following Monday, because it continues on that Monday.
True. And then on Wednesday, we'll find out who's left over and just shows up on the NXT.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was the week in wrestling so far. I'm not going to say the thing that I always say. Oh, well, we hope some news doesn't break and we have to report on it. Because every time I say that, something happens soon as we start the podcast.
Exactly.
And one day we're going to catch the news right before it breaks. And that's right. I forgot. I almost left that off. I'm going to report this here before it gets out and gets into a big thing.
Okay.
CM Punk took down his Pro Wrestling Tee store. Now, usually when somebody does that, that means they're signed to WWE. So, do you think that that's a thing?
I think so, because it's been rumored for a while. He's supposed to be doing the SmackDown show. I forget the name of it right now.
WWE Backstage. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. But, like, what gets me, though, right? To me, normally when they do that, they're like a current star, like you're gonna wrestle and whatnot. Like if you're a backstage personality, like you don't give a shit. Like if you have pro wrestling tees or whatnot, you can wrestle in the indies or whatnot. And I want to say, and I'm probably totally wrong about this. Somebody could like correct me. Jerry Kanellala actually has pro wrestling tees, and he works for the company. So he's actually a commentator on Raw.
Yeah, he's a commentator on Raw. Even though he doesn't want to do it, he's a commentator on Raw.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I want to say it's him, not necessarily somebody else backstage, but yeah.
Yeah, that's really what happens. I mean, some people that work there, they decide to leave up their pro wrestling tee store. I think the Revival still have theirs up. Because they had the FTR shirts and they decided to put them up because WWE wasn't selling them. And I think they're still up. I'm not sure. I think they're still up.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's the cover, I guess, right?
I think that wraps it up. I think I don't want to miss anything. I just think it's up. I think that's it.
Oh, there was one thing from last week and whatnot that we didn't cover.
Yes.
Talk about the Carlito incident or whatever?
Yes. Let's talk about that.
Never really an incident, but it was more like something that was said and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to paraphrase and whatever, like, I want to take that quote, but what was it that he said?
He basically shit on NXT and put up AEW and said that NXT was like super minor leagues and they had no reason to compete with AEW. And, like, they're basically killing their own future jobs. Basically saying they wouldn't be shit and would be working for AEW in 6 months.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he has no reason to be saying that. Because he didn't be shitting that they accept the secondary title. The tag team title here and there.
Yeah. And I just read something and, like, this would have made the whole show better, the Hell in a Cell show. So, according to Dave Meltzer, the original plan was for The Fiend to take a bump through the cell and kind of be no responsive, and they stopped the match that way. And then after the match, he put the mandible claw on Seth Rollins.
Okay.
Like, I would have loved that way better than the shit finish that they did this time.
Yeah.
Way better.
Way better.
Because, like, if they would have did something like that, I think I would have popped and said, yo, this match was great. And this match was total shit.
Probably not even that far. Like, if they had a ladder spot, you know what I mean?
They made it actual acceptable. Acceptable. Just make it feel acceptable. That's all I'm saying. Like, it's a dumb stoppage because he's hitting him with a chair. Stop it! Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I look at me and stop it.
Yeah, that's what it was. And this time, somebody actually listened and stopped the match. Why?
What?
It's just whatever. But yeah, that's the world right now in wrestling, which is so much stuff. Just so much stuff. And next week is going to be more stuff. Hopefully, next week will be super fun and we'll come in here hyped up instead of kind of dragged down like we did this week. Like, we're only dragged down because we had to talk about the shit finish in Hell in a Cell. What's coming? Huh?
The toxicity.
Well, the toxicity came from Hell in a Cell. It was like they broke the cell and then the toxicity escaped.
Yeah, that's true.
Hopefully this week we could be back to regular normal. Whatever that is in the wrestling community. So yeah, so we're at the end of the pod, which is always my favorite part of the podcast, the end of it. So do you have any way you want to end the podcast and let the people know that this is it, it's over, and we'll see them next week?
Nope.
No more hell. We don't want to go back.
I guess, right? You know, next time, same segment on time, same Riker channel.
Okay. You know what? Screw it. We're out.